In Jesus' name this morning, it's good to be here. Appreciated the service so far that Justin had to share. And really appreciated those thoughts. Maybe to get our minds in gear a little bit, I'm just going to read one verse here. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And when you are in Christ, something changes. Your whole identity changes. And this morning, I'd like to talk about your identity. I'm not going to talk about your identity in Christ necessarily, although that's a good subject, but maybe more along the lines of identifying with Christ. Do you identify with Christ? And while I was thinking about all the questions that come up about identity, I was thinking about today how so many people want to deny their identity, the identity that God has given them. They try to deny it. They want to convince themselves and others that they're really somebody who they're not. And you know, this world's so messed up in this area that people are confused. They don't know what's right, what's true, what the real truth is about themselves, all because man has taken in their mind that, you know, I know what my identity is. God, he can't tell me. I'm the one that's going to choose. And it's really made a mess of people's lives. But I'd like to think about more along the spiritual lines. Who do you identify with spiritually? And who decides that? And how do you go about living that way? You know, physically, people are known by their name. If you are, your last name tells people to what family you belong and who your parents are and so on. And for the most part, children take on the values of their parents. What their parents believe and think often is passed on. Children absorb that and that becomes part of who they are. Of course, you can change that. You can reject what your parents taught you or the way that your parents brought you up, but it's a pretty difficult thing to do. It's actually not too common. You know, when I was thinking about my little son, he's just 3 weeks old, a little over 3 weeks old, but in no time at all, people that saw him were trying to figure out, who does he look like? They wanted to figure out what his identity was physically. Does he look like his dad or his mom or his grandpa or his brother or sisters? And everybody looks at him and thinks, oh, I think he looks like you or that person or whatever. Because he belongs to my family, people are going to try to identify him physically by how he looks. And if you're in the family of God, you ought to resemble and have the values of Christ, of Jesus in your life. That's the family you've been adopted into, and that you should take those values onto yourself, and people should look at you when they see you and they observe you, they should say, recognize that, yes, this person is a member of the family of God. Again, the verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And the new creature is a creature that resembles Jesus. The closer we follow him, the more we will identify with him or look like him or act like him, all those things. So we take on Christ's identity and his name. Even as a Christian, we are called by the name of Christ. And if we don't take on his beliefs and values, then we really have no right to be called by that name either. I thought it was interesting that it says in Christ, and I looked up for some other verses related to identifying with Christ, and the phrase in Christ appears all throughout the New Testament. Many times that Paul especially says, in Christ. In Christ we are this, in Christ we are that, and the emphasis is on the fact that we are identifying with Christ. We are like him. In John 6:53, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in him. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." So this is a really deep commitment to identifying with Christ. If you believe these words that Jesus said, it takes everything. You're taking all of him and making it a part of who you are. He's the only source of your spiritual life. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." So Jesus is saying, if you can't stand up here beside me, if you're ashamed of me and my words, then in that last day, you're not going to be part of my kingdom. You're going to be out. And you know, Jesus is not popular. He wasn't popular then, and he's not popular now. Of course, you know, he had many followers, and in some sense you could say he was popular. Yet the people that followed Jesus were really the lowest of the low. What did they have to lose by following him? They didn't have much to lose anyway. But in spite of that, when his death on the cross came, even those, his very closest disciples, left him and fled for their lives. But then I have to think, look at their lives after Jesus was resurrected and after they received the Holy Spirit. Jesus was still just as shameful. His death was still just as shameful. His ideas were still just as unwanted by the world. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to overcome that. And no longer were they ashamed. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And he looked over all his accomplishments and he said, you know, all this worldly accomplishments that I have is just rubbish. If I can win Christ, then all of this other stuff is meaningless to me. So that's where we should be too. As we identify with Christ, we have to throw out our own selfish ideas of identity and the world's ideas. I'm just going to look at a couple different aspects that have to do with identifying with Christ. So first one I wrote down was suffering. And we see that Paul said he was crucified with Christ. You know, to the very beginning of our relationship with the Lord is to die to ourselves, is to be crucified to ourselves. And it's the first thing, the first step that we make. And it's the beginning of suffering, really, in our lives. You know, the early church experienced lots of suffering physically. And, you know, we see Paul writing to them, and each of the letters to the churches in Revelation, it talks about some sort of conflict or suffering or affliction that they had with the world around them. And he commends them for those that were able to endure it and to withstand it. And I would say that if we're not facing some sort of affliction or suffering today, then we can't really call ourselves Christians, because it's as simple as that as Christian you will face conflict of some sort, whether it's with yourself or with the world around you. And Christianity isn't for wimps. It's not for people who are afraid to make the hard decisions about your life. You have to choose. You have to make that choice daily that you're not going to wimp out, that you're going to follow through with this plan that you have, with this road that you're taking. It's going to be some suffering, it's true, but there will be eternal rewards that are far, far greater than any suffering. 1 Peter 4:1 says, For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. So this only not only shows us that suffering identifies us with Christ, but it also purifies our selfish nature, takes away the sin. It helps to purify us from sin. Moses was a good example of a person who chose suffering. It says that Moses chose affliction with the people of God in Hebrews 11:25. Moses, you know, he grew up in this privileged place of power and influence, and all of his wants were taken care of. Much more than that, he was rich. But when he grew to a man, he realized that he faced a choice. He could identify with God and his people, or he could keep on identifying with the Egyptians. And, of course, we know what Moses chose. And, you know, the thing I had to think of in this case was, and is the case in our lives, there was no middle ground. He couldn't say, well, I'm going to be part Jew and part Egyptian. It wouldn't work that way. He had to choose. And when he chose, there was a great difference in his life. From that point on, his path led in a far different direction. So Moses chose to identify with Christ, with God and his people. So either you choose today to identify with Christ, or you choose not to. You choose to identify with something else. And again, it may involve suffering. It will involve suffering. But nothing can compare to the joy and the peace that Jesus will bring to your life if you choose to follow him in that path. Another part of identifying with Christ is, I had to think of, is our communication. You know, we have to be, to really know somebody and to identify with them, we have to know who they are. Without some sort of communication, we don't know who the person is. We can't take on their values and goals. And I was thinking of this little parallel from aviation. In an airplane, there's a instrument called a VOR receiver. And a VOR basically is a station on the ground that sends out a signal. And you're in the airplane, you have a receiver that receives this signal. And it tells you the direction to the station that's on the ground. It tells you on what degree you are from that station. But before you put your trust into this VOR, you want to make sure you have the right one, because there's thousands of them, and they're dotted all over the map. So you turn the volume up and you listen for the identification signal. It's a little Morse code signal usually, and it tells you what station you're listening to, what station that you identify, and then you can trust that yes, I'm following the right station, I know where I'm going, this is where I'm at. But in the same way, do we recognize the Lord when he speaks to us? Do we acknowledge his signal? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Maybe sometimes we're too busy picking out the world's signals and their stations and identity signals that we can't find the Lord in all that crowded mess of noise. You know, there's all sorts of signals that the world would send you about, you know, there's the one from the successful crowd. We're going to listen to that and listen to what it takes to be successful. Or the sports crowd, or the latest music, or whatever it is. Are they crowding out the signal that we would need to hear from Jesus? Are we listening for him? Are we communicating with him? Do we study his word to know him better? It's easy sometimes to read the Bible and just kind of skim over it and say, oh, I've read my Bible today, and walk away and forget what you've read and have not made it a part of your life. Take a verse and apply it to your life that day. Make it part of what you think about throughout the day. Another area of identifying with Christ is in our lifestyle. You know, today, it's really confusing out there, I think, for people. There are so many different kinds of Christian lifestyles, you could say. You can mix and match them however you want. There's even the hipster Christian, the grunge Christian, and whatever, the socialist Christian, or whatever it is, you might say. People that seem to be more focused on their physical life on this earth and what it means, rather than what it means to be a Christian. They're trying to mix these two up. There's a book And I haven't read this book, I don't think. If I did, it was a long time ago. It's called Chameleon Christians. And in it, the author talks about how that Christians have a temptation to take on their surroundings and just fit in. I always want to fit in with whatever's going around me and look just like everybody else and act just like everybody else, and that's how I'm going to be effective as a Christian. But that's not going to work. What does it mean? What does the name Christian imply? It implies that you are like Christ. And do I as a Christian want people to associate me with somebody else, with a famous baseball player, for example, or some political figure or whatever it is? Is that really what I want people to associate me with? As a Christian, I want them to associate me with Christ. That's the thing I want them to associate me with Christ and his church. So what do your actions, what do they help people? What do people think of you by your actions? What do they think of your identity? How do they identify you by your speech, the way you dress, what you listen to, what you watch? I think a lot of Christianity today is going through an identity crisis. Many of them think you can't be relevant to the world unless you are like them. And in fact, a lot of people think you need to do everything just like the world to win the world. And some go so far as to think that we should accept homosexuality in the church because that's going to win the world. But sadly, that's mistaken. The church is not about being popular or about being well-liked or even about growing big and having lots of people. It's about taking the word of the Lord seriously and about following him. And we can't compromise on truth. We either identify with the Lord and his word. And I had to think back on the Sunday school lesson we had in John 1, where we talked about in the beginning was the Word, and we talked about how that the Word is really Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. Jesus is God's message to mankind. And so we identify with God and his messenger, Jesus, or we identify with something else. We can't compromise with the truth. The truth may seem irrelevant, but the truth will always stand. It may be hated, abused, denied, but it'll always be there. It'll never go away. It will always be truth. We identify with Jesus in how we love people. Ephesians 5:1, Paul said, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So, here it says, as Christ. So again, we're identifying with Christ by the way we love other people. And I had to think about the local church. How do we identify with the local church? Do we love those brothers and sisters around us in the church? You know, the local church is really an extension of Jesus. It is the bride of Christ. If we're ashamed of the church, I think it would stand to reason that we're ashamed of Christ too. In the church, we each have we can each add something. You know, today a lot of people in the world, they want to be cool or unique. I want to stand out. I want to be somebody that everybody looks at and says, "Wow, that's so and so. Isn't that great?" But you know, in the church, I think our personalities shouldn't be our focus. What we can do for Christ in the church should be our focus, not about giving myself glory for the things that I can do and my abilities, but about really what am I doing for Christ. And I think often the things that are done for Christ in the church are done by people that we don't even recognize who they are. We don't even acknowledge the work and the things that they have contributed to the church. But they're doing those things behind the scenes, and that's a wonderful thought. Billy Graham, you know, everybody knows who Billy Graham is. And he preached to millions of people. He would go to cities and hundreds of thousands of people would come to hear him. But he didn't think overly highly of his abilities as a preacher. He didn't think, well, yeah, this is me. I'm up here because I'm qualified to do all this stuff. He, in fact, thought, you know, God could have chosen anybody else to do this work. It's not me. It's not my abilities that I'm standing up here able to preach to hundreds of thousands of people. somebody else could have done it just as well. And, you know, that is the attitude that we ought to have, too, as we work in the church, as we identify with Christ in a real practical way in the church. Jesus said in Luke 17:10, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." You know, the church can be a real witness to those around as well. It can be make you really identify with Christ. When the church is doing what Christ wanted it to do, it points to Him. People see the people in the church doing things, and they say, what's the motivation for this? And they go to Christ, and they see, yes, He's the one behind what's happening here. In a recent story that I heard, it was actually my brother-in-law. He was in the hospital, and a friend of his was on the elevator going to visit him. And there was another man on the elevator, and the guy said, I can't remember his exact words, but to the effect of, is this a Mennonite hospital, or what's the deal here? Because he saw so many people coming to visit this man. And fortunately, this guy was on the elevator, and he answered the question. He said, well, there's a friend of mine here who's a Mennonite. Those people are coming to visit him. Oh, and he was just amazed at this. And he said, you know, if that's what church is like, I might have to start going back to church again. You know, that can be a real, those just simple little things can be a real way to bring others to Christ, can be a real witness to Christ. So I'd like to say that Jesus can really only use you if you identify with Him. He said in John 15, verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." So without abiding in Christ, identifying with Him, He can't use us. Moses, he gave up all the things that could have kept him in Egypt. All the riches, the recognition, the power, all the latest things, he gave that all up. Egypt was a very advanced civilization. They probably had all the best in everything, entertainment and so on. But he gave that all up to go live with these people who were poor, who were downtrodden, who didn't seem to have much of a future even. But he gave that all up to follow what he knew was right. And today, we need to give up what the world would have us to have. Don't let the world seal your identity in Christ by making you become a part of them. In the Old Testament, the high priest, if he'd be standing up here right now, you would probably stare at him for 10 or 15 minutes, just taking in all that he looked like. The high priestly garments, he had the breastplate, he had the mitre, and he had something on his forehead. He had tassels on the bottom of his robe, certain colors, certain stones, all these things that he stood for, that stood out on him, that identified him as a high priest. You know, you'd probably feel pretty silly if somebody dressed you up like that. But that was his identity as a high priest of God. Those things each stood for an aspect of who he was, of who God was, God is. And, you know, that's sort of like it is for us. Our lives bear the stamp of Christ. Each part of our life has a reflection of what Jesus has done for us. It should, anyway. In closing, I'm going to read Romans 6, 4 through 11. And as I'm reading this, just notice the phrases, the words like, together, and with him that are in this passage. And it talks about how that we identify with Christ. It says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this passage really breaks it all down into what how we should identify with Christ, the identity that we have by being dead to sin, by being raised to walk in newness of life, by being crucified with him, by being alive with him today. And I'd just like to encourage you, in closing, don't let the world steal your identity. Don't stand up by the world and say, I'm identifying with them. Remember who you're identifying with today in every area of your life. Make it a point to identify with Christ every day. Choose to identify with him. You're going to have to make a choice every day. Okay, that's why I'm going to close with that. If you have any...